Hey, Hun Butts and Hun Bros. The fourth annual MLM conference is coming up in May, and we need your help. We're looking for survivors of MLMs, hello, to share what they were promised when they joined and what they lost after they left in a short video to be used for the social media advocacy portion of the MLM conference. We all know that the collective voices of survivors is so powerful, and we want to show the industry professionals watching that we're a force to be reckoned with. So, if you would like to help us out, visit bit.ly/promise-loss for all of the information on what we need and how to submit it. And don't forget to tune in to the MLM conference on May 2nd and 3rd to see our presentation and listen to all of the fantastic panelists. We've got a lot of new faces this year, and I couldn't be happier. Visit mlmconference.com for all of the info and to register for free to attend this virtual event. And I'll see you there, huns. Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real-life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates to debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, scams, and multi-level marketing. Quick content warning. In this episode, we talk about toxic diet culture. Please be advised that topics may include mentions of weight loss and gain, examples of fat bias, and discussions on disordered and restrictive eating. Please use your own discretion if any of these are difficult or triggering topics for you. Thank you.
Hey, Hun Bots and Hun Bros. Housekeeping. Quick little content warning, some current events, and some updates. Starting off by saying that this episode gets a little heavy. There is talk of the fear of child loss, as well as toxic diet culture and eating disorders, including orthorexia. So I just wanted to let you guys know that we do discuss these in quite a bit of detail. So please use caution when listening to this episode. Secondly, I want to say thank you to our newest Patreon members, Amanda Allen and Elle Malky. Thank you so much for becoming members. You guys are awesome. There is quite a few little bits of bonus content in this episode if you are a Patreon member, and our tiers start at $5. So if you want to support the show, you can head over there. The link is in the show notes. And then lastly, we have some tragic news out of the MLM world. On August 31st of 2022, founder of Market America, J.R. Reidinger, passed away from a pulmonary embolism while he was on vacation with his family in Croatia. So we send our thoughts out to his family in this difficult time. And lastly, on September 8th, Thursday afternoon, Buckingham Palace confirmed the death of Queen Elizabeth II. I know we have a lot of listeners in the UK, and so I wanted to send my love to the British nation and Commonwealth and the royal family. Rest in love and peace. Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. Today, we're going to be talking about an MLM that you guys, literally, I got an email about it the other day asking about this MLM. You guys ask about it in the comments all the time. And there's no better way to talk about an MLM than to talk about it with somebody who is in deep. So I would like to welcome to the show, Adalie Tazeri. Adalie, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here. I have binged listened to every single one of your episodes on my way out of the MLM world, and it was super helpful. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing that that happens because that was one of the whole things I was hoping would happen. So it's great that people who are leaving MLM are finding some help and support through the process. That's awesome.
It was incredibly that makes me feel helpful. Great. Yeah. Thank it made you. Me feel like I wasn't alone in it and that, like, you know, it is something that people have to like actually get out of and deal with. And
absolutely. So let's talk about the MLM that you were a part of. And that MLM is drumroll, Arbonne.
Woo, go Arbonne.
Good old Arbonne.
Yep.
I've never really done like a deep dive. I know we've talked about Arbonne on the podcast, but you have a totally different story with a totally different experience. And we want to tell as many experiences as we can because there's somebody out there who's listening, who's sitting there going, she still hasn't like hit on anything that's happened to me before.
Mine's not like that.
Right. My MLM isn't like that. So absolutely, we're going to talk about our one today. So let's start at the beginning. How did you get in? Where were you at? And what was going on in your life?
Yeah. So I was incredibly anti-MLM. I knew about them from the beginning. And, you know, I always come back to this episode of The Office with, you know, Jim going through a whole pyramid scheme, and Jim basically just like highlights the whole thing that it is a pyramid. And I always went back to that being like, it is. I don't understand why people don't get this. And someone that was really close to me, we're going to call her Sue just to save face here. She was with Arbonne for a very long time. Pretty much like, ever since I can remember, she wanted me to get into the products and the business. And I would always say, no, no, no. Like, don't even talk to me about it. Absolutely not. And then I went to a party, and her upline, who was or is one of her very best friends, also in her church, helps take care of her children. Like, they're very close, basically like a second mom to her. She was doing this party. In the party, she said that we are all killing our babies by using toxins, sunscreen, shampoo, stuff with parabens, all these different things. And that Arbonne has better products that won't, you know, you won't be killing your baby. And at the time I was pregnant, I had severe anxiety that I didn't know that I had until way after pregnancy. And so it hit on all those anxieties. A newly pregnant mom, you're freaking out no matter what, freaking out over everything. And to hear that I'm possibly killing my babies by using shampoo or lotion or sunscreen, it like hit home and got me pretty good. So I dove into the products. I literally went through and got rid of everything that I owned, makeup, shampoo, deodorant. I mean, everything, and bought all Arbonne. I like had a complete freak out. And so I became a preferred client under this Sue person so that I could get a 20% discount and bought. She was like, oh, you should be a consultant because it actually would be a lot cheaper. And I was like, no, 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 no. I'm not in this for that. I am just going to buy products. And I bought all the products. I mean, I went to town.
I mean, they get you with that greenwashing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And like saying that Arbonne has 2,200 chemicals that they ban, and that, you know, those chemicals are in all of our personal care products here in the US. And we've, you know, we see, I still even say it. Arbonne follows the EU standards, and that, you know, the US allows any and everything and the FDA doesn't care. And so it was bad for me. Yeah. Bad for me and my anxiety and my wallet.
Yeah, I hear about that a lot. The greenwashing, like the, you know, yeah, absolutely. You're killing your babies. You're destroying this. You're absorbing all of these toxins through your skin. You don't even know what goes through your skin. I mean, what exactly are the toxins that, you know what I mean? Like, what do they mean when they say toxins?
That was like the key word that we used in Arbonne was toxins. You want to get rid of toxins. You want to do this, you know, like you don't want to put toxins on your body. You want to make sure you do these cleanses so that you can get rid of all the toxins. There were certain skincare products that would pull toxins out of your face and
face specific toxins.
Yes. Face toxins that you get by walking around outside in the pollution.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense. Here you are, a newly pregnant, new mom to be. It's already scary when you don't know anything and you're like, okay, this is very time sensitive and I don't have a lot of time to figure it all out. And you're asking friends and the people that you trust are saying you're killing your baby with the shampoo you're using right now. And you're just like, oh my God, where can I buy all the not baby killing things?
Yeah. And well, actually what really got me was I had this shampoo in my shower that was for like dry skin. So it was for like dry scalp and it helped with all of that. And I used it and I was like, I should see what's on this. And I look on the back and it's like salicylic acid or whatever that is. And I was like, oh my God, I don't think I should be putting this on my skin while I'm pregnant. And so that's what really like set me off. I like had a complete meltdown. I called my midwife. I was like losing my mind. And I literally thought I was going to be killing my child by putting shampoo on my hair. And I was like, I did it. I killed him.
Wow. No, salicylic acid is totally baby safe. Oh, at least pregnancy safe, I would think. I don't know. It's in most acne and oily products for skin and hair. Yeah. So it would make sense that the salicylic acid would help dry out what was ever causing your dry scalp to begin with.
Well, I couldn't let it kill my baby, so I had to move on from that.
It's like you look at the ingredients list and the first ingredients is toxins.
Yeah, it was a toxin. So they totally got me. It was pretty bad. But as far as the business goes, you know, I had quit my full-time job in marketing. I am a marketing major, and I was doing PR at the time and SEO. So I quit my full-time job and I wanted to just do consulting and be home with, you know, my kid. And so I started also thinking about like, where else can I make money in life? I'm just going to be hanging out at home. Like, what can I be doing? And I was actually really into Beachbody at the time. Loved it. Hated the products. I thought they were terrible. Loved the workouts because I could do it from home. And they had like even, you know, maternity ones. And I got obsessed with this girl, but her handle was Foodie Girl Fitness. And she was like the number one beach body coach for a very long time. But what I liked about her was that she would talk about, you know, quote unquote, body positivity and how it's all about, you know, making sure that you're doing your workouts, but being healthy about it as far as what you're eating and fueling your body. And, you know, who cares if you have a little bit of tummy, because we're still working out, we're still waking up every day. And even if I don't want to do it, I'm going to do it for my health and my wellness and my mental health. And that's kind of like, I needed that at that time in my life. And so I got super into her. I was following her, obsessed with her, listened to her You Can't Sip With Us podcast or whatever it's called. So I was actually contemplating joining Beachbody. And at that time, literally, like I was talking to my husband about it, this Sue person called me and was like, hey, I wanted to see, I have an extra ticket to a car party. One of the people on my downline or like in my, you know, teams got their car. And so they're throwing a party. It's just going to be lots of fun. We're going to have drinks and food and, you know, raffles and all this stuff. And it'll be a ton of fun. And
a
I was like,
car party.
Yes, this was a thing. Every single person that got a car had a car party and it was presented to them at the car parties. And the whole point of the car parties, I've learned later on in my journey, is to bring people so they can see that you can be successful in this. It's not just something that it's like some random person has a car. Like, you know, someone now, you're looking at them being handed a car.
Right. And now all that dopamine is telling you, oh my you God, need your own car party now.
Yes. Oh my God, I can do this. I need that white car. So she invited me to the car party. I was already kind of considering joining an MLM with Beachbody. And I was like, oh my gosh, it just kind of clicked. I could join Arbonne. It's, you know, similar thing. And so I was like, no, I really don't want to go to that car party. It sounds terrible, but I was thinking about joining the business. And she jumped on that. I was actually already a consultant. I had moved up to consultant level because I was buying so many products that it only made sense to get the higher discount.
I would say real quick, I feel like that's intentional, right? I feel 100%. Like they make those two levels so close, but so different that it's just like, well, why not?
Might as well.
Absolutely. No,
it is definitely, that's the plan. It's not about the, you know, the preferred clients. The whole thing was to get your preferred clients to become consultants. Yes. You nailed it on the head. But yeah, so there was no fanfare because I was already just a consultant. It wasn't like, yay, she signed up, because I already did. So basically what I had to do to qualify for the first level was $1,000 of what they call QV. And that's like qualifying volume. So qualifying volume is retail volume, but it doesn't count for, like, you know, like if you were to buy something out of the Arbonne boutique, or if you were to buy yourself business cards or pamphlets or, you know, catalogs, that doesn't count as qualifying volume. You had to do 1,000 in QV to get to the first level.
Like, cumulative, or is that like for the month?
Anytime. Well, so it's like a month sprint. So the beginning of the month to the very, like literally the last second of the day or the last day of the month. and you would work that hard until then. So let's say if it's the first day of the month and I bought enough products, and I say that specifically, I bought enough products to get myself that $1,000 QV to, you know, qualify for the first level, then I have the rest of the 29 days or 30 days to finish that qualification. Well, I bought all my products. I was in qualification within like literally the first day. And so I was like, I'm just going to do this products. I just want to do, like, I'm not going to recruit anyone. I hate MLMs. I think they're so dumb. Like, it's so scammy and predatory, and I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to use my marketing degree to market the shit out of this, get people to buy it. I'm going to get my Mercedes like tomorrow by doing marketing, because that's what I do.
Okay, totally. For sure. I'm feeling you. So what is that 1,000 QV look like? Like, how much approximately on average would that cost you?
It was roughly $800 with shipping.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So it's because, not dollar for dollar, really.
No. Well,
some are more, some are probably less, depending.
Yeah. And as a consultant, you would get 35% off. And so it actually counted for the retail volume, which in my mind, I was like, oh, well, that's nice. They're trying to be helpful. No. And then the shipping was just insanity. They actually went to a flat rate shipping at some point because people were complaining about it. It was literally by weight. And so I think my very first order, I paid like $70 in shipping. Jeez. Yeah, it was insane. And I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous, but whatever. It is what it is. And, you know, just went along with it.
I mean, isn't it wild with the sunk cost fallacy? Even in the beginning, will like make you think you're paying so much in shipping. That's ridiculous, because there is flat rate options. And you're like, well, it is what it is. It's part of doing business. This is what being a business owner looks like. Yep. I mean, we are taught all of these things that are not necessarily true.
All of this is a write-off. So you can pay $70 in taxes for that, because then the $800, other than that, is a write-off.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's keep going.
Oh, geez. So I was like, I'm going to do everything my way. I'm not going to follow what they say. I'm going to market it and follow my, you know, marketing intuition. So I created myself like a website and I forgot about this. I had a handle that I created, and my website was at first, the very first time, was Chemical Free Mama. And I was told that I'm not allowed to say chemical free because there are some good chemicals. It just depends on how much you put it on your skin. Does it work or does it not? So you don't want to put like too much of the chemicals, but Arbonne used just enough. So it's not chemical free. So then I went to Purely Balanced Mama, Purely Balanced Mama. And that was my handle. That was my website. And I created this whole website. I was blogging. Like, I was doing all the things that I would do if I was an actual business. Well, I was told, no, that's not going to work. Like, literally went to my upline's house, sat down and showed her my website. I was so excited. I was like, oh yeah, this is going to work. I'm super jazzed. And she like was completely disinterested, wouldn't even look at it. And she was basically like, that's not going to work. You need to do it this way. This is the way we have it. This is the way that we have perfected it. You want to do it the way we're telling you to do it. Because, you know, I think now, like now that I think back on it, it's like, I don't think that they actually wanted us to do it the right way, like the way a business would, because people would then go, it's a friggin' MLM. Like, I'm not going to buy from you. But if you do it the way that they wanted you to do it, where you're connecting and making friendships and getting people to buy into you first and then your business, it's harder for them to say no.
Well, yeah. I mean, the deception is the best part of the MLM. Like, without the deception, the MLM doesn't work. So they're like, no. Real business isn't going to work in a scam. So we can't do real business. Also, if you're doing real business and people start catching on that you're doing real business and they start doing real business, they're going to also realize that they don't own their own business either.
Yeah. That this doesn't actually work. This isn't actually a real business because you can't follow business practices.
Well, the truth would unravel it all.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I was totally gaslit in that moment. And I felt I felt bad about myself. Like, I felt like, oh man, you know, like I'm messing this up already. Like, am I going to fail already? All I wanted to do to come into this thing was sell products and do it in the way that I was taught through school. I mean, I paid for a marketing degree and you're telling me that it won't work that way. Like, I just felt really gross about it. Just kind of, I don't know. So we kind of stepped back a little bit actually in that moment. And so they got all weird. They were like, okay, we need you to come to this training. There's an Arbonne training. It was like an actual big thing. I guess they would do it. There's Global Training Conference, which is the big one. And then they would travel around and, you know, go to different places and people would come to those. And so there was actually one in Denver. And so I was like, all right, I'll go to it, see what this is all about. In my mind, I'm like, I think I'm done. I don't want to do this. My husband and I had actually just moved out of our dream home that we had built so that I could be a stay-at-home mom. And so it was kind of also in the back of my head, like, no, you need to do this for your family. You made a promise. You have seen this work. You have seen, you know, people who have the car. You know, like Sue's best friend and her direct upline is a regional vice president who has the car, which is the third level. Her sister was a regional vice president. Their best friend was a regional vice president. So at the house, there would be like six Mercedes outside, you know, when we were just out hanging out. So I knew all these people.
Yeah, so, you seem so close to it. You're like, I know so many people. You don't even look at the exponential aspect of it, of how many people are also on the team that are not there, that factor in how difficult it is to get that car. Because exactly. It's just you and a couple other people hanging out with a bunch of people that have the car.
Right. So like my Arbonne mama, as they say, her direct upline was the regional vice president who was like our team leader. So she was my like Arbonne grandma, you know, like she wasn't like five removed. She was like right there. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to commit. Let's see what happens. Well, I had gotten a text message from this girl that I went to college with and I hadn't seen her in a while. And I was like, oh, this is kind of random. And I thought the first thing that went through my head is she's reaching out to me for an MLM. Literally, as I'm in an MLM, reaching out to other people, the first thing I think of. And then I was like, no, I need to be, I was like, I need to be more open-minded. I actually really did enjoy this person. Also, I should expand my network. So I should respond and I should say, yes, I'll go to coffee with you. I'd love to go to coffee with you. And that way I can talk with her. Maybe she wants to buy Arbonne. Maybe she wants to stop killing people with her shampoo and her lotion and buy Arbonne. So I set up this coffee meeting for the morning of the training. I was going to go to this coffee with her and then drive to the training. I didn't live that close to it. I lived about an hour away. I go to this coffee. She, you know, gives me a hug. Hey, can I buy you something? And I was like, no, I've been here for a minute. I already have a coffee. And she's like, oh, I really wanted to buy it for you. And I was like, oh, no, that's okay. I'm good. She gets her coffee. She sits down and starts doing a little bit of chit chat. And then all of a sudden she's like, so I really wanted to talk to you because you have, like, you just reminded me when we were in school of just like the person that I want to have on my team if I were to ever like do any sort of business. And she's like, and I just started this business and I really want you to be a part of it. You were the first person that came to my mind. I was like, oh, shit, I knew it. I knew it before I even, yes, I knew it. And so I was like, actually, I just joined Arbonne and I'm on my way to an Arbonne training conference, like literally after this coffee. And she kind of got flustered. And I was like, so do you just want to tell me, like, she wasn't telling me what the business was. And I was like, do you just want to tell me what it is? And maybe we can like collaborate. She's like, I'm actually not supposed to say. And I was okay, what does that mean? And she's like, well, since you're with Arbonne and you're already in a business, I'll just tell you what I'm with. And maybe you want to do something different. And she's like, I normally have this whole, you know, thing that I do because people are very weird about this and I don't really want to, like, we're supposed to talk to people first and get them to understand the value of the business before we tell them what it is. And in my mind I'm like, oh my god. And so I was like, okay,
sounds like a scam. Sounds like Amway. Actually,
it's Amway. I was gonna say, what do you think it is? It's Amway.
Oh man, I was like, yes, because the coffee shop and then it's the are you looking for a mentor? And then it's like, I don't know if the people that mentor would be interested in you or not. I'll have to ask them. So then you're like going on the hook being like, gee, I hope I'm good enough. Like,
right. And but I like saw through the BS right away. And I mean, I was in the BS. And so of course I saw it. I was literally driving to a training. I was getting my coffee before going to a training. I got really weird and I drove to this training just going like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? This is not the way I want to be. This girl lied to me. Like she said, I want to get coffee with you and catch up and we haven't seen each other in forever. But she was lying to me and was being incredibly predatory and basically got me to this coffee shop so that she could then pitch me Amway. And so I was like, I will never do that, ever. And I didn't. Throughout my whole Arbonne career, I was with Arbonne for 3 years. I never once sent someone, like I was very transparent, very upfront, probably why I did terrible in the business. I never did that because it like just grossed me out that day. I was so weirded out.
I've got this whole eating fancy while at home thing on lock with Cook Unity, and you can join me by visiting cookunity.com or entering code MLM before checkout for 50% off your first week. I live in sort of a rural area east of San Diego, and so I don't really get to step out of my culinary comfort zone as often as I'd like to. And if you're a foodie too, you know how expensive exploring the local food scene can get and how hard it can be to find the time and the energy to venture out of your neighborhood. I love our small town spots, but it can get boring pretty fast. I've tried a lot of food services and meal kits, and by far, Cook Unity is my favorite. While others can be labor-intensive or food-restrictive, Cook Unity left me feeling satisfied, satiated, and smiling. You guys know how much of a workaholic I am. You listen every week. Cook Unity got me excited to take a break and enjoy a delicious hot lunch from the comfort of my own home without leaving, and it was less expensive than a trip through the drive-thru. The meals were delicious, easy to reheat, and every single one of them was a hit that I would reorder. I love the variety, the flavors, and the fact that we can support local chefs. The rustic-style French beef ragu was so delicious. I paired it with some leftover garlic bread that I had from dinner the night before, and I practically licked the plate clean. If you'd like to support the show and join me in experiencing chef-quality meals every week delivered right to your door, go to cookunity.com/MLM or enter code MLM before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code MLM or going to cookunity.com/MLM. I got my newest Quince order in the mail. Want to join in on the fun? Visit quince.com/MLM for free shipping and 365-day returns. Y'all know I am a sucker for fashion in the worst way. I think most of you who listen know that. And from the second that I saw Quince's $50 Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater, I knew that I needed one. I've never owned cashmere because it's always felt just out of reach. But it's spring, so we're cleaning out the old to make room for the new, and I'm upgrading my wardrobe with a new, super soft, lightweight, classic cashmere sweater. It is perfect for just about any time of the year and occasion. And I paired mine with some skinny jeans, and I wore it to all of the podcast industry parties at Evolutions this past week. It is a luxury essential at an unbeatable price. Truly, you are getting 70% off the luxury brands on 100% grade A Mongolian cashmere. Unreal. Quince's quality cashmere is incredibly long-lasting, it's 3 times as warm as wool, and it's sourced sustainably and ethically from goats in Inner Mongolia, and then it's ethically produced in China. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And coming from my past, I absolutely love to hear that. There's a reason that this sweater has a 4.9-star rating with over 11,000 reviews. It comes in 21 colors, 5 sizes, and it won't break the bank or your heart. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/MLM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MLM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MLM.
Yeah. Okay. So, here's the other weird thing that you mentioned, the word weird again, that the Amway lady was like, well, I got to do it this one way because people are really weird about this kind of stuff. And it's like, no, you are the one who makes it weird by lying.
Lying.
And like being creepy.
Coffee with you. Yeah. So I never did that. But I had people try and do that to me all the time. And I just saw through the bullshit right away, like every time. That's kind of where that all, you know, I ended up going to the training and I told this person, Sue, that I felt like this was super culty, that I'm really kind of weirded out. I told her about the Amway situation and she's like, oh my gosh, we are so not like Amway. It's absolutely not like that. I don't know how, but somehow I was convinced during this training.
It's so textbook though. Like it's so like, it's exactly what you would expect from someone in an MLM when you tell them about a different experience in a different MLM. They're like, we're not like that one at all. Don't worry about that. We don't do that weird stuff.
Not at all. We are not like that. But I totally got bought in. I was like, all right, all right. So I ended up, you know, actually working the business. And within a month or so, I had hit district manager somehow. I honestly don't know how. It was like, I think someone stacked my numbers because it was like 11:30 at night. I got a text message saying that I hit district manager. I had not been working. I was asleep. Like, how did that even happen? Somehow it happened, but it did. And so I got invited to this super training with just our team, with like the super duper 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 hun of Arbonne. Her name is Cecilia. And she is this Brazilian lady who probably has, I think the statistic was like 58% of the consultants are under her. She makes like, oh God, I don't even know, a ridiculous amount of money every month. I can't remember the numbers exactly, but it was insanity. And she, like when we would go to the global training conference, she had us all wear the same shirt. We had to buy the same shirt from like T Public.
You would think she would buy the shirt. She's the millionaire Arbonne lady.
It was insanity. When we would go, everybody was wearing the same shirt. And they would be like, oh, are you on so-and-so's team? I was like, I don't even know who that person is. We're all on Cecilia's team. Like, don't fool yourself. The reason you're wearing that shirt is because you are on Cecilia's team. She's trying to show everybody that she owns Arbonne. Yeah.
Wow.
But I got invited to her house with my little team. So it was my RVP upline with a regional vice president, Arbonne speak. And her little team. So it was like all three of the RVPs plus their like direct downlines. And you had to do something that made you earn this trip, right? So I'm pregnant with my second kid when I had started Arbonne. I forgot to mention that. So I go there pregnant and I go to this house and it's like this big deal. Like they are worshiping this lady as if she's like a celebrity or God. I mean, it was very weird. This lady put on like, I mean, there was probably 11 of us maybe. And she put on this whole spread of food and we had like a whole day of training and, you know, 2 hours worth of pictures with Cecilia. And she basically was talking about how we're so lucky to be there because the training from her, like praising her as if she was this God. It was a lot.
Well, was the training sort of like how, you know, here's my secrets. You can do what I can do. Anyone can do this because
basically,
but she
it was the same shit you could have gotten from any of the trainings that she's ever put on ever.
Right. But you said she has like half of Arbonne in her downline.
Mm-hmm.
So how can everybody have half of Arbonne in their downline? Like it's mathematically impossible. Yeah. No one ever questioned that. Like, how are you training me to do what you do? It's there's not enough people in the world for me to be able to do that.
Well, let me tell you what she would say. You need to work hard. She's like, I came from Brazil. I was a janitor and I joined Arbonne with no money in my pocket. And I worked so hard. I was able to then move up a little bit, make a little bit of money. And so I then bought myself a nanny. She's like, I started paying for people to do things that I could be doing business during that time. So she had a nanny. She had someone come and like cook. She had cleaners. And she was telling us that we had to get these things, that we had to sacrifice our time with our kids so that we could work. We had to sacrifice any time we would spend cooking, working. We had to sacrifice any time we would spend. You don't need to clean your house. Get a house cleaner and spend that time working. What are you doing?
Absolutely.
Why would you not work?
LuLaRoe said the same thing. Deanne told us to do that. She said, get hire help for anything that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Get a house cleaner. Get a cook. There's meal services that deliver the food. You just have to heat it up.
Like how
feed them frozen lasagna. Yeah, privileged. All the time.
You are a privileged person to be able to say that. Like, that is just disgusting. I mean, my husband and I have two incomes now, and I got a house cleaner once and I was like, oh my God, that was amazing, but I can never do that again. Like, it was one of the best things that I ever did for myself, but wow, that was expensive. And silly, I can clean. It just was so privileged. We're all, you know, white women sitting in this lady's house. She's a millionaire, beyond millionaire. She's telling us that we need to get house cleaners, and it was just disgusting. From that training, I totally bought in. I was all in. I went to a global training conference, which is this big thing in Vegas. Big, big, big. It's this big deal. So big that I brought my 7-week-old baby with me and just wore her the whole time because I was told, oh yeah, all the moms do that. There's so many moms with babies there. So I had a terrible pregnancy. I had a terrible postpartum. I was very depressed, very anxious. I don't know what I was thinking. Honestly, I didn't realize I was that depressed and anxious. I wasn't on medication at that time, and it was horrific. I mean, I literally remember my child never slept, ever. And I remember sitting in the hotel room and just crying, just bawling my eyes out. Why did I do this? My child's not sleeping. I'm sitting here by myself. I could be home with my husband and my other kid. I'm sitting here bawling my eyes out, trying to rock my daughter to sleep while I just walked all over Vegas to get this training conference. And so I just constantly had this like negativity in the back of my head. I was always like, this is dumb. Why am I doing this? No, you need to do this. I was basically gaslighting myself into all of this.
Yeah.
I was like telling myself constantly, like, no, this is going to be so worth it. You can do this. It will be worth it in the end.
You were really buying into that toxic positivity. I mean, Arbonne is thick with it.
Thick, very thick. Yes. I totally bought in. I had a person join me. Her and I are still buds, and we were going to do it our way. And we were always being told by our uplines that that's incorrect. And we were constantly being told we were incorrect. So Arbonne, I'm sure you've heard, like, they are the epitome of the, hey, hun, emails and DMs. That was me for a while, for a very long time. We listened to all these trainings and there was all these people saying, no, you have to do it. You have to do it. You have to send, like, you know, 10 a day. And I wouldn't go to bed unless I did 10 a day. And I had to not only do that, but I also had to text 3 people asking for a party, text 3 people asking to renew on product. And text 3 people about asking to join the business. So I would be asking 9 people that I actually knew a day, plus asking 10 random people on Instagram. And I always did it, you know, like I said, I was very transparent and stuff. I did do the hey hun. Like, I would copy and paste other Arbonne ladies, but I would also tweak it a little bit. I would try and find people that I thought I actually could help. Like, in the back of my mind, I was like, these people would be so happy if they knew what I knew. They would jump for joy to know that they weren't going to kill their babies with their shampoo. You know, they weren't going to kill their babies by putting sunscreen on them.
So, like, how bad did the greenwashing obsession get with you?
Horrible. I actually had, so I ended up with 2 eating disorders and a working out disorder, and I'm in therapy for it and have been for a year trying to get over it. And that's actually when I quit Arbonne, was when I found intuitive eating and realized that I had multiple eating disorders. But it was, so orthorexia, someone else had mentioned it on the podcast, Daniel Bolster. What's her podcast again?
From Huns to Humans.
Yes. I just started listening to that and it's really good.
She's but great. Yeah,
she had talked about it with Arbonne and how orthorexia, she barely mentioned it, but I was deep, deep in orthorexia, like to the point of, I had Arbonne hand soap in my purse and would use Arbonne hand soap instead of soap at the bathroom or soap at a friend's house. Or like, I would legit, if I had to wash my hands at a kitchen sink, I would go to my purse and discreetly pump soap into my hand and then go wash my hands. And it was ridiculous. And
did anybody ever see you and say, what are you doing?
Yeah. And I was like, you know, I just can't handle the toxins that are in things. So just so to be safe, I just kind of use what I have and I use Arbonne because, I mean, it was so bad. Orthorexia is all about being healthy. And I took healthy to another level. So Arbonne has the 30 Days to Healthy Living, and that's the program that most people run their business on. Most people don't run their business on the skincare, and it's mostly the health, because every 30 days you get a re-up. Versus the skincare is like every 6 months. So why not do the 30 days? Oh, the best part about the 30-day program, Arbonne didn't come up with the menus. Arbonne didn't come up with the plan. Arbonne supplied the products and put it into a package and gave it to you at a discount. So my upline came up with the menu. My upline came up with the 30-day program that we would put into the Facebook groups. And it was, we wouldn't even put them into the Facebook groups. We would connect our account with a Post My Party, and it would already be in there, and my name would just pop up, and it was just a implemented email. But we would get people into these 30-day programs by saying, you'll have a coach, we'll coach you through the whole thing, you will, it's going to be, you know, and we didn't, and no one did. And this, who came up with these menus? Like, it just, it's insane to me that these random women think that they can be nutritionists, think that they can run these programs and tell people, I mean, it's literally 1200 calories a day. And yeah, we're telling people enough to eat 1200 calories a day. And we're telling them they have like to, you know, make sure you eat 1200 calories a day, because I don't think if you actually added it up that it would be 1200. I think it was like 9. And so you have to add in a couple snacks to make it 1200, like an apple or, you know, oh, it was insane. So the 30-day program, I got into pretty hard. I was depressed, had anxiety. I was already into the products. Postpartum, I was watching all these women obsessed with their Facebook and their Instagrams, and I had comparison syndrome so bad. I won't be able to run my Arbonne business if I look like this, if I'm in a bigger body. I ended up with anorexia as well. And was diagnosed with that, as well as orthorexia. So the orthorexia is more along the lines of healthy. So I became so obsessed with what's not only in my products that I was putting on my body, but the food that was going in my body. So I got anxiety going to a party or to a friend's house because I didn't think they would have food I could eat. If someone called me and asked me to go out to lunch, like to a restaurant, I would get anxiety. And I didn't know how to live my life without that anxiety of not knowing whether or not I just wouldn't eat. I wouldn't, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, is this organic? Is it actually organic? Is this pasture raised? Does it have sugar in it? Did you accidentally put milk in it or gluten in it? You know, like I was so obsessed. It's all I thought about literally all day. I tracked my food. I tracked my workouts. I was obsessed. I would track my food for the whole week in an app, and I would plan it ahead. So Sunday night, I would sit down and I would plan my whole week through Saturday so that every day I knew what I was going to have and there was no question. I wouldn't have to go, oh crap, what am I eating today? It was in my app and I knew how many calories it had. I knew what the macros of it were. Like, it was so disordered, and it took, I'm still in therapy over it.
Wow.
And this is all because of this 30-day program that got me. Like, they say it's a 30-day program, but then they say, oh, you should do it again. Oh, do maintenance where you do 80-20. So 80% of the time you do the Arbonne program, 20% of the time you eat, you know, whatever you want. So they could still sell the product. They can still sell the 30-day program. I did it for 2 years. The 30-day program.
You ate like that for 2 whole years?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yep. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And no one told me no. Everyone was telling me that I was doing great. Oh my God, you're losing so much weight. You've lost so much weight. You look amazing. You're so motivated. I could never be that motivated. You know, like, people were praising me for being on this program for 2 years when it's a 30-day program that someone just came up with. It's not even really a thing. It's literally just products packaged in a box that you get a discount on. And then someone decided to call it a 30 days to healthy living, create a menu plan. It's not even real.
Oh my God. I'm like speechless.
I can't imagine who else out there is dealing with this. I mean, there were these women, you know, the mega huns that I was obsessed with over Instagram and just poured over their Instagrams and their stories was comparing myself to, they would do the 30-day program constantly. And they were tiny. And they would be like, oh yeah, I lost only, you know, 3 pounds or whatever. It's more about health and I just feel good. And it's like, F you and your 3 pounds, lady. Like, I don't know. It's just, it makes me sick to think about the people that I put into that situation. It makes me sick that my daughter watched me do that to myself and my son, both, but mostly my daughter. It makes me sad for her. It makes me sad that I'm doling out a bunch of money for therapy every week. And, you know, like, it's just unfortunate. And nobody's going to take the blame for that. That's on me. At least that's what they're going to say if I were to say anything about it. Well, it's a 30-day thing. We didn't tell you to do that.
Yeah, of course. It'll always be your fault because always. They will never, ever, ever take any part of any blame or any accountability at all.
Yeah.
You know, no fault is ever 100%. You were coerced. You were put in situations. You were told things. You were manipulated. You were lied to consistently.
Totally.
And then when you crashed and burned, they were like, what? We didn't tell you to do any of that. You're like, kind of, though.
Yeah.
So it's a vicious cycle. It's horrible.
Is. Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you're out and realizing this cycle is not about you specifically, and it is systemic, and you're getting the help that you need, and you're working through all those things. I'm so sorry that you went through any of that because you didn't need to.
No, definitely not. And, you know, my poor kids, they had to go through all those ups and downs with me. I mean, we were vegan. We were raw vegan because you have to just keep upping the ante when you don't get the results you're looking for. Then you just go to the next one. You go to the next one. You go to the next one. And so my poor children were eating nothing, basically. And I was told by the doctor that they need to be eating more because I wasn't feeding them enough food that they could like actually grow on, because I thought I was doing right by them. I thought that they were healthy, that they weren't eating sugar. They weren't eating gluten. They weren't eating anything milk products. I mean, my poor babies. Now I'm just like, whatever you want, go eat it, you know?
You see, and even the fact that you understand that disordered eating that you were in and that toxic diet culture that you lived in, and now your kids are seeing you outside of it. And so, you know, maybe there's some damage, but what you're doing now is reversing that damage by teaching them that food is delicious and fun and enjoyable and pleasurable and nutritious, and it's not bad. Yeah. And you don't have to be afraid of it. Like, let's not be afraid of the thing that keeps us alive.
You don't need to get crippling anxiety when someone asks you to go have lunch or ask you to go to a birthday party. You know, it was tough.
Another one of the things that you mentioned in your email that I thought was interesting is how Arbonne will hold your pay if you don't purchase enough product.
Yep.
So can you explain that to us?
Yeah. And I don't know if they do this anymore. You know, I've been out of Arbonne now. It was 2020, I think, is when I finally quit. But your paycheck would consist of commission as well as whatever you made from your team. It was called overrides. And so if you didn't place a personal order, so there was QV, which is qualifying volume, and then there's PQV, personal qualifying volume. Your personal qualifying volume, you had to hit 125 every single month to be able to get your paycheck. Well, there was one month that my husband and I were really struggling. We had bought a lot of product, you know, before that, and we were pretty stocked up. And so I was like, I just can't this month. And so I didn't. And I was like, you know, it'll be fine. I'll just get my paycheck the next month, thinking that it would just like roll over. And it didn't show up on my next month paycheck. So I called and I was like talking to somebody, hey, you know, I didn't place my 125 personal order last month, but I did this month and I didn't get my pay from last month. It didn't roll over into this paycheck. Oh yeah, no, that it just goes away. If you don't make your 125 personal volume, you don't get paid for that month. And I was like, well, where does it go? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I can't really speak on that. I'm not sure what happens to it. And I was like, so my money, like my commissions that I made from my actual clients who bought product from me, and I worked hard for, you know, making those three calls a day, doing parties that my client pay, not just my overrides. Everything was gone. And if I would have known that, I would have made the 125 personal order because it was far more than 125 that I would have gotten. $600 probably, you know, but still, that's $600 that just went away. Poof, gone.
That's that pay to play right there. You have to spend 125 in points, which you said it's not really dollar for dollar.
Right.
So you're spending probably $80 to $100 a month, right, minimum.
With shipping.
To hit that. Plus shipping.
Yeah.
Plus shipping. Right. Weighted shipping.
Yep.
You know, but if you don't, you don't get paid at all. You don't qualify. If you don't spend that money, you don't qualify. You have to spend the money to get the money. You have
to. Which is ridiculous because you could have a whole slew of qualifying volume, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah. And this goes right into like the buying your bonus, right? Like you're not buying your whole bonus, but I mean, I guess you could, but you're looking and going, oh, I'm qualified, but I didn't spend 125. Maybe I only spent 100. I need to get 25 more personal qualifying points to get my bonus. Well, what's my bonus? Oh, well, my bonus is 600 and I'm only going to have to spend 50. Okay.
Right.
That's 550 in the green.
I did that constantly too.
Yeah. People do that all the time.
Yeah.
But here it's like built into Arbonne. It's like part of it. Like
you have to do it.
Obviously.
It's not an option.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
I know.
Have you ever been the victim of identity theft or been harassed and scammed by annoying spam and robocalls? And you're wondering, how do they even get my information? This is why privacy matters, because our personal information is everywhere on the internet, making us easy targets. The volume of personal data available online has tripled between 2019 and 2023. The good news is that you can protect your data with DeleteMe, a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process, helps prevent potential identity theft, doxing, and phishing scams. To put it simply, DeleteMe does all the hard work of wiping you and your family's personal info off the web. After a quick and easy sign up, you input as much information as you can remember into the prompts, and DeleteMe immediately goes to work scrubbing all of your personal information from data broker platforms, so your personal and private information is no longer theirs to profit from. DeleteMe then sends you regular personalized privacy reports showing you what they found, where they found it, and what they removed. I was floored. Trust me, I forgot a ton of past home addresses and they still came up on my report. Old email addresses I didn't remember, past phone numbers from 20 years ago. It was wild. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe. Now at a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your DeleteMe plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and use promo code MLM at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and enter code MLM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/MLM.
Yeah, so that one was tough. That was a tough blow. I was like, ooh, these were like all the things that were kind of making me work my way out. Like that one hit. And then the whole like finding, I mean, I didn't find intuitive eating and get on that train for a little while, but there was just like all these little things that kind of started happening. And I remember at one global training conference, I mean, this is global. There was a man who was an ENVP. He was doing a training on stage. And then afterwards he prayed over everybody and was like, it was very like an evangelical thing. He was like, everybody say, you know, I believe in God. And like, I mean, it like the whole Vegas conference. I mean, there's 25,000 of us chanting and it was insane. That was the last one I went to. I had to get out of there. I could not handle that.
But like, what about people that aren't Christian, right, that are in that audience? Like, how do they feel?
Well, my direct upline, Sue, she's very Christian. She's actually a missionary, or was, and she, her and her husband, that's how they met. And she looked at me and she was like, "Ooh, he might get in trouble for that one." And it was like, well, good, because there's so, I mean, that just again ostracizes people that may not be part of that. Like, you know, he was like, everyone with me say amen, and like everyone in the room said it, because they probably didn't want the person next to them to think that they were not part of the group. They didn't, you know, they didn't want their upline to look down on them. I had another, my friend who was my direct downline. She was the only one I ever had. she wanted me to tell a story on here about how our ENVP direct, like not my direct, but my like grandma, my Arbonne grandma. She told me that it's so good that we got this person into Arbonne so that they can come to God, because she's terrified that if she wasn't in Arbonne, then she would never have come to God. And it's like, Is that what we're doing here? Is that? And it apparently it was.
Well, haven't you seen all the bumper stickers around? Arbonne saves?
No, I have not. No.
I'm just kidding. There's no.
I was like, is this a thing? Oh my God.
That's funny.
That is hilarious.
Arbonne saves.
That is too funny. I got really scared. I was like, oh no. But yeah, she, I mean, this lady, she was on a prospecting call with me, and the girl that I was prospecting, she went to my church. I met her through everything. It was a church thing. And she was telling my upline, well, I don't know if I want to sell anything, because what I actually want to be doing, and you know, is talking about God. If I'm going to be talking to somebody, I'm going to be talking to them about God. And my upline was like, great, that's awesome, because this is a great platform to do that. That's what I do. That's what my sister does. You know, that's what we use Arbonne for. And she just like spelled it all out and was basically like, yeah, you know, that's what I'm here for. I sell skincare products, but then I actually like get in people's homes and, you know, become a friend of theirs and make a relationship with them and bring them to God.
Pyramid scheme with the side of faith manipulation.
Oh my gosh. I'm on this prospecting call almost like throwing up in my mouth a little bit, you know, like, oh no, we can't do that. That's not okay. I don't know if I'm okay with that, you know? And it was like, another one of the ones where I was almost on my way out and all that happened. So
it just feels like Arbonne is like the Stepford Wives generator of MLMs.
Oh, it is. I mean, you have to be, you know, conventionally beautiful to do well. You have to be conventionally small bodied and do these 30-day programs and show people that they work and prove results. You have to be outgoing. And, you know, I would always say, like, I'm just not outgoing enough. I'm not good at sales. And, just fake it till you make it. And, you know, just look to your upline. And they would always say, take your upline's confidence, take your upline's story if you don't have one. Just take her story. If you don't have a good story for it, just take hers and take your uplines, you know, whatever it may be. Like if you didn't feel like you were confident enough that day or you weren't outgoing enough, just take your uplines outgoingness.
It's like if you're trying to tell somebody a story and your sad life isn't pathetic enough, use someone else's sad, pathetic life story.
Exactly. I
mean, it's just, again, the competency is deception. It's all deception. Lies.
Well, they told me to project where I was going. And so I would tell people all the time, like, yeah, I'm getting my car in 6 months. Because that's what I was projecting. So when I was prospecting someone, I mean, we read books about literally prospecting. I think in the title of the book, it was like something prospecting, like 17 ways to prospect or seriously. But yeah, I was told to just, you know, project where I want to go. And so just, yep, I'm getting my car in 6 months and I'm super excited about it. And everyone's like, oh my God, congratulations. That's amazing. Because it shows people that you can, that they can do it too. I mean, I burned so many bridges. I ruined so many relationships. It's just, I went through my Facebook messages and my Instagram messages and I went through every single one and said sorry to people and said, I am so incredibly sorry for hounding you for the past like 3 years for, I mean, there were some where I would send them messages and one way that we would get around it is we would send someone a message. If they didn't respond within the next day, we would say, I'm sorry, did I make this weird? And that way it put it back on them to respond of like either, oh no, it's fine. You know, like, can you imagine if your friend messaged you? So manipulative. And it worked every time.
Well, of course it did, because one, yes, you did make it weird. And then two, calling it out, people are like, dang, well, I have to sort of soften the blow and be like, no, I was just busy, or, oh, it's okay. I never check these messages or whatever it is.
No.
Wow.
And that was one that came from my upline. I mean, I literally was an upline robot. I did everything they said to do, and I swear I wasn't going to do that. The only thing I never did was text someone and ask them to go to coffee and then ambush them with Arbonne. That was the only thing I never did. But well, everything
glad
else
you stuck
I
your
did,
convictions.
Everything else I did, and I did it hard. I mean, I went at it hard. And I got, you know, messages back on Instagram. There was one where I got a message back and this girl was like, this is so incredibly predatory. You are horrible. I can't believe you're doing this. It specifically says in my Instagram that I do not deal with MLMs. I am triggered by you talking about weight loss. Like, she just went off. And so I got on, we had a Voxer. I don't know if that's even a thing anymore, but we had a Voxer account where, you know, our whole team could talk together and stuff. And I went on and I was like, so I'm not doing that anymore because I got this message and it made me feel terrible. And she's so right. Like, I cannot do this anymore. I'm not going to be cold calling people. I'm not going to be, you know, it was deleted immediately. And Sue called me immediately after I had said all this and was like, you can't talk like that because people listen to you. You're a leader. And if you say that, then no one else is going to do it. And this is my team that you're affecting. This is my team that you're telling, like, not to do this thing that we've all specifically said we're going to do. And, I mean, I felt awful. I was like, oh my God, you're so right. I'm sorry. You know, like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe and she's like, you don't know, like, that was one person that said that to you. Like, you could help so many other people in your life. You could, you know, you could reach out to someone and they might really need it. And you're not going to anymore. And you're telling my whole team not to do it. You could be ruining other people's lives just because of what one person said. So I constantly had this. God. And that was like midway through where I was all the way in. Yeah. Oh, it was bad. I mean, I was all the way in at that point. And I was still underlying in the back of my head going, this isn't right. What I'm doing is not right. But then I was told that, no, it is right. I should be doing it. And so I kept doing it. I mean, to the point of, it was disgusting that the things that I feel like I feel so gross. I sent probably 300 messages to people saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did this to you. I'm sorry that I was in a cult. I was gaslit. I was under immense pressure. I was under immense pressure from myself, from my team, from my upline. And I am so sorry that I hounded you and that I wouldn't take no for an answer. I wouldn't.
Wow. So what was the final straw? And then how did you leave?
The final straw for me, it was a lot of things. All the, you know, it was kind of like, it was a soup. It was building up and building up. But for me, it was finding intuitive eating and knowing that I needed to stop drinking a shake for breakfast and a shake for lunch and then only eating like chicken and broccoli for dinner.
You know, I completely agree. But as soon as you said that, it reminded me of the Slim Fast commercials in the 80s.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
A shake for breakfast, a shake for lunch. And a sensible dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's what we
it's
did.
It's like ingrained into our brains from being kids.
That was the Arbonne 30.
I hate that meal plan. It's the worst one of all of them.
Yep. It was awful. You can't even have coffee. Like, that is the, yeah. It was the fizz sticks. You were supposed to replace your coffee with fizz sticks.
Not gonna happen.
I know. Yeah, no, I did that for a very long time. Didn't have coffee. Because it was hurting my adrenal glands. Roberta, don't you understand? Coffee hurts your adrenal glands.
Of course it does. Of course it does. We can just say anything we want to say, and it's true because that's what I believe, and I can believe what I want to believe, and those are your opinions, and these are mine.
My gosh, that just reminded me. My buddy, who was my only downline, her dad is a doctor. And when she was trying to tell him all this stuff and like how the probiotics, it was the 7-day cleanse. We have the 7-day cleanse that is like a colon cleanse. And she's telling her dad that it like removes heavy metals from your system and like pulls toxins and all this stuff. And he was like, that's not like how your organs work. And he's like, your organs actually like remove toxins on their own. Like otherwise you would be dead. And so you don't need, it's your body's fine. It's doing a good job. You don't need to like do a colon cleanse for 7 days once every 30 days. That's what I did. God. Every 30 days, 1 week out of the 30. Yeah.
Every 3 weeks you were colon blowing it out.
Yep.
Oh my God.
For the sake of health.
For the sake of health.
Yeah. And I judged the shit out of people who were not as healthy as me. When I saw someone eating something that was like, I don't know, good tasting, I would be like, oh man, they're so not healthy. I'm way healthier than them. I can't believe they're ruining their bodies. I can't believe they're putting all those toxins in their bodies. I cannot believe it. They need Arbonne more than they can even imagine. I mean, I was so brainwashed.
Do you also think that you were justifying your jealousy of people eating delicious things by being absolutely. Like, oh, well, I'm so much healthier than you. So yeah, go on absolutely. And eat that ice cream, you heathen. Enjoy those toxins, and you disgusting, sugar. Gross, unhealthy person. I'm so much healthier than you. I don't even need ice cream. I can freeze a banana and pretend it's ice cream.
And I did.
I know yes, I you absolutely did. Because I've done it too.
Yes. And I would go to a sushi restaurant, and instead of putting delicious soy sauce, I would use coconut aminos.
I was going to say amino acids. Oh my God. Yes.
This is why I need therapy. It was ingrained into everything I did. I was so brainwashed. I look back on myself now and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? Who was that person? Who? I just don't understand. I don't understand how I got sucked into that. Especially since underlying all the time, the whole time I was in, I would think, this is a cult. This is culty. This is creepy. This is weird. And then someone would tell me it wasn't. Oh, you're right. You're right. Somehow I'd be like, oh yeah, of course. No, that was wrong. That thought I just had, that thought's not going to get me my car. So I need to banish that thought right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Who is that toxic, hungry girl?
Jesus. I don't know.
I'm glad she's gone.
Me too. I would do the 5-minute morning or I forget. See, now I don't even... Oh, Miracle Morning. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
You wake up really early, like stupid early.
Quit. I already quit. I already quit.
I did it every day. My Miracle Morning. I would sit down. I would write my gratitude. I would work out. I would work out for 20 minutes in the morning. And then I would also go to the gym and work out for 2 hours on top of that. Yes. It was very... Oh, Roberta, I can't even begin to tell you.
I don't like even thinking where I could find an additional 2.5 hours to just work out every day. I don't even know where I would put that.
So being a stay-at-home mom, I had my kids were 18 months apart. So going to the gym and putting them in daycare was like the best thing that ever happened to me. And so I think I used it as an outlet as well to like get some alone time.
Absolutely. So there's another vulnerability that you're feeding, which is fueled by the workouts at home, which are done by Beachbody, and the nutrition at home, which is, you know, by Arbonne. And you're living in this like very cyclical, toxic diet culture. And it's really like it's you're also you're self-medicating because the only thing you really want in your life is just a little bit of free time.
Just a little bit.
And you have that at the gym. So yeah, of course you're going to want to go there as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
I worked out like 6 days a week and I ate 1200 calories a day. And people told me how amazing I was and it was just fueled it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say that too. I hate that. I don't want that praise anymore.
Ooh, I ate it up. It was like the best thing that ever happened to me. I think because I needed it. That's what I was doing all of this for. I was doing it so that I could fuel my Arbonne business and be one of those mega huns that was all over Instagram, that was running their business like just from their phone. I mean, whatever. They're working probably 80 hours a week. I was working probably 40 just on Arbonne stuff between calls and parties. And
but you were so close to that car.
Oh, God, no. Oh, so far away, but I was only 6 months away. But in reality, no. I never saw someone on my team. I was there for 3 years and never saw a single person have a car party on my team.
You never went to another car party? Just
I went to
one?
Car parties outside of our team, but not everyone on my own team. Nobody on my team. I didn't know, like personally know a single person that got their car after I joined. It was all just...
Yeah, it's just a very powerful recruiting tool. Lots of smoke and mirrors. Absolutely, yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you're out. What are you doing now? How's life been?
Great. So I am eating, which is awesome.
So good to hear it.
Yes. and I'm doing joyful movement, not obsessive stuff.
Absolutely. So yes.
Yep. I'm actually hanging out with my family and my children instead of being on calls constantly. I actually have a full-time marketing position. I do SEO for a marketing agency. So I work from home still from my computer. It's a real thing, people. You can actually get a real job that is remote, especially now after COVID. There's so many of them. I got a real marketing job working from my computer at home with my children, making real money for what I'm doing, not pretend money. But yes, that's what I'm doing these days.
That's amazing.
Hiking, going off the grid, not taking my phone. I'm not on any social media. I got off completely because I cannot handle it. It was so toxic for me. So
absolutely. I feel you on that. I absolutely do. Breaks are an essential part of being on social media, whether it's a forever break or just a mental break when you need it. I am 100% pro taking breaks from social media when you need them.
I know. And people always ask me if I do social media marketing and I'm like, no. Absolutely not. I cannot do that because I don't even know what TikTok looks like. So no, I can't do an ad for you on TikTok.
Are you ready to do some rapid fire questions?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
You know how it works. Take your time. What is one word that encompasses how you feel about multi-level marketing?
Toxic.
Brilliant. Give me a warning to somebody who's listening who might still be on the fence and want to join an MLM.
Ooh, the reviews that you read that are negative and the anti-MLM stuff that you're seeing that is negative is real. When I went looking into Arbonne and Googled and I was reading it and I was like, these are just disgruntled people that didn't make it. You know, like I'd probably be frustrated too, but 99% or I don't even know the statistics. So those reviews are real. Don't disregard them. Don't like actually read them and see if it's something that, I mean, just don't do it, but read the reviews and believe in them.
Right? On the off chance they are real, like use caution. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
What is the worst MLM in your opinion?
Arbonne. I want to say others, but I think that LuLaRoe was incredibly predatory and, I spent an ungodly amount of money on LuLaRoe because I joined, you know, all those Facebook groups and all of that stuff. And I had one lady that I was close with and she did the lives and you had to get it right that second or it was going to go away. And so you were on constantly and just like, mine. I spent so much money and I don't own a single LuLaRoe piece anymore. I've thrown them all away. Actually, I own one. It's a Carly and I cut off the sleeves. Yeah.
It's a great summer, like cleaning, it's laundry day kind of dress.
Totally. But no, I think Arbonne just because there is no real program. The 30 days to healthy living isn't real. Nobody came up with it. Not a dietitian, not a nutritionist. There's no doctor behind it. The recipes are made up. It's not okay for them to be doing what they're doing.
What is the hardest lesson that you learned in MLM?
That I can be bought by that, you know, like I can buy in. It makes me feel so gross to know that I was doing that to people and that I was reaching out to people that way. And I never in my entire life would think that I would do that. And I look back now and think, that's not even something that I would ever consider. So that was a really hard lesson to learn. Like, I totally bought in. I can see how like the NXIVM women ended up where they did, because when you're brainwashed like that and you think that what you're doing is right and good for people, then it makes it hard to see elsewhere. And that was a hard one for me to wrap my head around.
Wow. Wow. Oh, yeah. Okay. And what is the positive takeaway from this experience for you?
I think the positive is that, you know, I learned that I'm stronger than all of that. I learned that I learned that I'm in control. I can take my mental health back. I can take my actual health back. I thought I was healthy and I was incredibly not healthy. And so I'm in control. And that's what I've actually taken away from that, is that I finally have control over what I'm doing with myself and my body.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Thank you so much, Adalie. This has been such a cool conversation. Thank you for just like going and deep diving with me on this. The Arbonne is like so much worse than I ever thought it ever was. Like, so much worse.
This has been great. Thank you.
You are so welcome. This has been so great. And thank you again.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast and my advocacy at The Real Roberta Blevins. You can find all of the links to the social accounts in our show notes. And if you just listened to that incredible story and you thought, oh my God, I have a story just like that that needs to be told, hit me up, therealrobertablevins@gmail.com. I would love to have you on the show to share your story and start your journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Huns.